Tonight on TMSPM, Dark Tower has a new frontrunner.
Rocky has a comeback.
Oasis guy is still a jerk.
Arnold, eat no more meat.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMSPM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMSPM, the PM edition of the morning stream, which we do because of you, because you helped us out over at Patreon. What's the difference? Let's call the whole thing off. Over at patreon.com/TMS, I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Hello.
It's weird, but I'm getting used to it, this new schedule.
Yeah, it is. It's only our second week, and really this is the first time at one, which is going to be presumably the new home.
That would be, right as it stands right now, as it stands, all my words are coming out weird today. Can't figure out why. As it stands, this will be our new time for now. And just do a quick check here. Indeed, there are more total people here in the chat room than we usually get at 4:30 when we used to do it at 4:30. So that seems good.
It seems like a sign, yes.
Yeah, people at lunch, people doing their thing.
And podcast listeners will still listen to it when they get it.
Yeah, right? Yes.
Yes.
That is my understanding.
I mean, they'll still, they'll get it. They'll listen to it at their convenience. Exactly.
Yeah. You get it at home. You go walk the dog. You do whatever you got to do. We don't judge. You live how you want to live. Brian, my wife and my daughter and then a neighbor kid who is here with my daughter.
Is she go home?
Neighbor kid.
Oh, they already left. Anyway, the neighbor kid came over and hung out with Carter and they made pretzels like the kind you get in the mall.
Oh, really? Like the big soft Wetzel's pretzels?
Yeah. Except not gross and not manufactured in some mass warehouse someplace. But like made fresh in front of your eyes, their own dough, their own egg wash. I didn't know there was even such a thing, but there's an egg wash.
That's what gives it its little hard coating or semi, like its firmer crust.
Yeah, the outer shiny, almost like bagel-like.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Bagels have an egg wash as well.
See, I never knew any of this. This was all news to me today. I always thought bagels were just the way they were cooked. It just meant brown on the outside, soft in the inside, right? But no, totally wrong. She dipped it in like a tray full of baking powder, right? Or baking soda. What's the difference? Same thing, right?
No, very different.
Oh, which one keeps your fridge fresh? Listen, this is... Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning into the worst and shittiest cooking show ever on the internet. I really am not good at these things. But what? Right. So baking powder and baking soda, what's the difference?
Baking soda, let's see. So baking soda, I mean, you use them for different things.
Okay.
Baking soda is the one you put in your fridge to kind of keep things cool. It's a deodorizer.
Okay.
But you can also use it in cooking. Baking powder you use exclusively in cooking. Like God, what does it do? It activates the yeast or something? I can't remember what exactly.
I don't remember either, but all I know is when she poured it into the egg wash water boiler thing, it would make like, it was like Coca-Cola going, like it got really, and that's why I kept thinking soda in my head.
Right.
And maybe that's what it was. Carter, was it soda or powder? So it was baking soda. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it is
baking soda. Is also what you mix with... vinegar to make a volcano.
Oh, really?
If you're if you're Marsha Brady,
or if you live in,
or I guess it was Peter Brady that did that.
Oh, yeah, Marsha. She was doing something else. Right. Anyway, they were really good. I've only had two, but then I had to run down here. So very proud of them. Also, I like that this little girl who is very much Carter Jr. in almost every way. I like that she has a little role model there, so she knows that even though she's a little goofy, there's other people just like her, and they grow up just fine. So
nice.
That's good to do. All right, here's the other important thing. You were talking about 3D printers before the show.
Yes.
Does your 3D printer have a mode or a change or a certain part of its process that emits a high-pitched squeal that makes your dog go insane?
It doesn't appear to.
Because does, dude. Holy smackaroli.
Really?
Yeah. So yours is what? Yours makes noise, but it's probably not like up in that higher upper range or whatever.
No, it's like a hum, and it's... I mean, it's like yours. I think there's a case around it, so it's enclosed. Mm-hmm. But
so it's like,
right, like exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, we get that too. But then there's this period between the plate is low and you've just put goo on it. And now the plate needs to rise up to the two nozzle hole things. Mm-hmm. If I get too technical for people at home, I apologize. But as it rises up, it makes a sound in the rise. Now, once it's up there and it's working away, it goes away. But it's this sound of, it goes, hoing. It gets really, really high pitched. And I right. and as soon as it happens, every time I can just stop and listen to the rest of the house if it's quiet. And all of a sudden I hear this outside. Every time.
Nice.
And I'm sure that's what it is because she does it on cue. Anyway, oh, that kind of hurt doing that. But that's awesome. That's the news from our personal lives, everyone.
Well, so let me ask you something. Yeah. So in yours, the plate is the thing that moves up and down.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Same with mine. The old one I had, the extruder was just, it moved in all three directions.
Oh, it was, so it built up instead of the other way around.
Correct. Okay. Yep.
Oh, that's interesting. What are the ones where you start with a big pile of goop and then...
Oh, and then it pulls it out of the goop?
Yeah, or melts it within the goop or something? Or
yeah,
kind of,
that's a, like a curing thing. I don't know. That's a whole different animal.
That seems to be on a plane of existence I'm not yet allowed on.
It totally does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless that's supposed to be easier. I don't know. I mean, that's how they did... So that was the process on a much larger scale, but that's how they did those fingerprints for the WoW characters for a long time. And they had them, they would, when they were done, they would dust them out of this big trough of whatever that stuff is. And they'd pull them out from there and then clean them up and stuff. I still don't quite know how that worked. But anyway, 3D printing, everybody. It's
crazy
a,
stuff.
It's a thing.
And just to answer our question, by the way, baking powder versus baking soda.
Yeah.
Baking soda lets foods rise, says Willie. It reacts and allows air into the dough.
It's definitely
baking
happening.
Powder has a bicarbonate in it and a weak acid, which alters the pH of the carbonite bicarbonate, allowing for acid-base reaction.
Jeez.
It's musical chemist. Okay. Says that.
Must be. Is he in the chat room who said that?
Yes.
Wow. We have smart people who listen to this.
We do have very
dribble.
Smart people in here.
Yeah. Well, how do you guys stand it? How can you guys, how do you smart people come and listen to this show and not want to just poke yourselves in the eye? I don't get it.
Stab yourself in the ear with an ice pick.
Yeah. Listen to him talking about dough.
Oh, my God. They can't even figure out who was in the freaking Lion King.
Rafiki, Mufasa, who was the bird?
Who was the bird?
Yeah, wasn't who was it? We determined the bird was, there was a bird.
Yeah, it was Rowan Atkinson.
Right, and you thought it was
I was thinking
Affleck.
Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah. I was confusing with the Aladdin.
The parrot.
The parrot, which right. is also a bird.
Look. I'm no bird expert.
I'm sorry, no, Robert Guillaume. Oh, God, not again.
Yeah, Robert Guillaume is,
Robert
is
Guillaume
Rafiki.
Is the monkey.
What did you say?
You asked about the bird, and I was confusing the bird with the monkey.
We're doing it again.
No, we're not going down this road.
We literally just did it again. That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, here's this then.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
All right, it's time for the evening news brought to you by...
Brought to you by salt and vinegar in my chips.
Yeah, so you didn't think I had enough vinegar last night in that bread dip I talked about on the morning show today. Mm-hmm. I had some salt and vinegar chips, and I'm not supposed to be eating those.
Oh, shame, Scott. Shame!
Listen man, I gotta have my vices, all right?
Yeah, right.
I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do pot. I don't have any hookery ladies on the side. I just ask
no
for some
hookery ladies.
I just ask for some salt and vinegar chips occasionally. Okay, that's it.
That's all I want.
That's all I want. All right, where are we here? Oh yeah, look at this. The Dark Tower movie. I talk about it a lot because I'm very stoked about that. My favorite book series of all time. And looks like they're going to cast. He's the current front runner, so maybe this could change. But it seems like this is a lock almost. They're going to cast Idris Elba.
Cool. Heimdall.
Yeah. As Roland, the gunslinger. He would be really, really good pick.
Cool.
Some people, who I will only refer to from here on out as racist a-holes, don't like the idea of a black Roland. I don't know why that's a problem.
First, they do it to Annie. Now they're doing it to the gunslinger.
Yeah, what's going on? We need to build a wall.
First, we did it to the human torch.
human. He's human huge.
Torch.
Human Torch. Anyway, so it seems great. I don't know why anyone didn't think of this sooner, as asked this article. The star of Luther, Pacific Rim, Beasts of No Nation, and so on, is the current frontrunner to play Roland Deschain in a director Nicola Ascarello's adaptation of The Gunslinger, the first novel in the Stephen King Dark Tower series, which makes me very excited to hear him phrase it that way, because up till now, I was unsure, and this may have been said somewhere, but I was personally unsure whether they were going to try to cram a 7-book mm-hmm. series into a 2-hour movie.
A single movie, right.
Which is a bad idea. I'd like much more the idea that they would start with The Gunslinger, move their way on to Drawing of the Three, and then on to mm-hmm. Wastelands and so on. Such a good series. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this. And he would be perfect. He's got the perfect stature, size. He can play anybody. He'll be dead on. Cool. So if he does that, he'll be joining the cast that already includes, and everyone thought Matthew McConaughey was going to be him, but now even more excited. Oh my gosh, Brian, you got to hold me down. McConaughey's already in the cast. Everyone went, oh, Gunslinger, easy choice. And I did too. I said, well, that's fine. He'll be good. But he's set to play the mysterious Man in Black. The Man in Black, one of the great villains in all-time book history.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, okay.
And
them's big words.
Them's big words. You're not wrong about that. He's less notable in some of the future books, but in the first one, he is very important. So Man in Black, that's amazing. Matthew McConaughey will play a great villain, and I'm super jazzed about that. Anyway, oh, and for those that don't know, this is not a spoiler, but he is also he's the same character, not just the same name, but the same character from The Stand.
Oh, right.
Who plays Randall Flagg, or the character Randall Flagg is right. The Man in Black.
And Randall Flagg's in a bunch of other, like, he's in It, and he's in...
He shows up all the time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
he is wonderful.
He's a recurring King character.
He's great. And you don't, and they're always self-contained to the point that you don't care that he's in all these other books. It works really well. Anyway, this was revealed by The Wrap, who says Elba is currently in early talks for the part, and there's still a chance for him to walk away, I suppose. But the part of Roland may be exactly what Elba should be looking for after playing second fiddle to other actors in a number of blockbusters over the last couple of years. This could be his franchise. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Now, he won't be British, though. He'll don his American accent, I'm sure, mm-hmm. for this, because why would you? He's done that plenty of times. He was on The Office, remember? Remember when he was on The Office for a while?
I forgot he was on The Office.
He was the transition guy that came in to help. What was the deal? He came in to help Michael and The Office transition to the new ownership, which I think was Kathy Bates and her dogs.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he was just there for a little while. Great big hulking black dude. That was him. And he did a very good American accent then. He's also does a really good turn as an American general in 28 Weeks Later, my favorite of the 28 series. Mm-hmm. I made that very clear
only
before.
Only two movies.
There's only two, but if you're going to pick one, I go the second one every time.
Yeah. Oh, I do too.
I don't know why, though. Isn't that weird? And usually mm-hmm. it's the original you want to glom onto, but...
You know, the original had its merits, too.
I love Danny Boyle.
It had that happy ending that they changed because audience didn't like the original ending.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yes, exactly. And then this ends well for nobody in weeks.
Right. Yes.
Also, if I was that lady, you might say, there's something in my eye. It's my husband's thumbs. Anyway, that's a whole, I don't want to spoil it. It's a really good movie. People should see it. We're well past the 2 weeks, but.
Yeah, well past.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie.
Sure.
Yeah, what else? What's going on here? Oh, 39 years after his first and only Golden Globes nomination. Sylvester Stallone is getting a Rocky-esque career comeback. All it takes is one role, Ryan. His work in Creed has garnered him a Best Supporting Actor nomination. Wow. That's pretty good.
That is cool. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
So he'd only ever gotten one Golden Globe nomination prior to this.
For the original Rocky.
Right.
And nothing since. And I'm trying to think of what else he would have. And I can't think of anything that was... I may have given it to him for Rocky Balboa. That was a really good movie. The sixth or whatever it was one.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth? Fifth. Sixth, seventh. Whatever it was. But what else has he done? Like, Get Carter wasn't great.
Right.
Copland.
Stop or my mom will shoot.
That, didn't get recognized for that one.
Copland. Copland was good. That was well regarded.
That was a good movie, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think we weren't ready yet for him to be seen that way. And even lately, it's like, well, what's he done? The Untouchables 3 or... Not Untouchables. The
Expendables.
The Incredibles. The Expendables.
Yes, that's it. The Incredibles.
But so he's not going to get recognized for all that garbage. But this, that's great. Mm-hmm. Right back to the thing he got recognized for in the first place.
Right. His post-porn career, right?
Yeah, his post-porn career. Oh, exactly. He didn't get recognized for that either.
Didn't get recognized for that appropriately. Didn't get recognized for that.
But isn't that interesting to go 39 years apart on your nominations, and in both cases you were playing the exact same character.
Mm-hmm.
That's really a strange thing.
That's that's obviously got to be a record.
Yeah, it must be. If it's not a record, it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do you know the Oasis guy?
Which one? So there's the two brothers, right? Liam and Neil, or Noel Gallagher.
The Gallaghers, yeah. They both put big tarps on the front audience part, and then they broke melons open with big hammers.
That was the best part, with the sledgehammer comedy.
You never really saw it coming, except the front row would put on a tarp, and then you'd be like, uh-oh, I know what's going on now. Well,
You're my Wonderwall, splat!
Former Oasis rocker, they call him here, Noel Gallagher, says that Adele's music is for grannies. Well, his is definitely not for Grammys, if you know what I'm saying. I like Oasis, so I don't want to talk too much smack about him, but he seems a little full of himself.
Oh, they've always been outspoken, and you never know how much of it is just for the publicity.
Yeah.
I think they do come across as jackasses, though, so I'm guessing that a lot of it is just them not having a filter.
Plus, they fight
not
all
caring about their filter.
They don't like each other anymore, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there was so many times that Oasis was one of the brothers on stage,
yep,
and maybe the other brother in the very back of the auditorium with the arms folded.
Yeah, both fingers out, giving the bird.
Right, exactly.
Well, he has some things to say about Adele's success, and it's this. If someone wants to know what I think of Adele, I'll effing tell them. It says bleeping here, but I assume. I just don't see what all the fuss is about. I don't like her music. I think it's music for bleeping grannies. A sea of cheese, unquote. A river of liver and an ocean of fish and a sea of cheese. Gallagher added music that... I really don't like calling him Gallagher. Noel Gallagher added, music has nosedived into the bleeping blandness. It is interesting that no one ever talks about my love of U2 and Coldplay. Lately, the one I've only been asked about is Adele. Well, it's because she's huge right now.
Right, exactly.
U2 is full of old men with bug-eyed glasses and a skull cap he'll never take off. And Coldplay, they got a new album, but, you know, it's Coldplay. We know.
Right, it's exactly.
Adele disappears for 5 years, makes new albums.
Reinventing themselves in Coldplay, which is good. If you like Coldplay, you're never disappointed by their albums. So.
Yeah.
Whereas U2 tried that reinvention a couple times. It failed a couple times. It succeeded really well a few times.
Did the Gallaghers ever answer the accusations that used to come their way about being Beatles ripoffs? Did that ever get resolved?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure it was just something like, hey, there are influences of ours. We're big fans of the Beatles. So what? Go F yourself.
Yeah, go.
Piss off.
Piss off, you bloody bunger, bugler.
I'd really like to see Adele do an Oasis cover now.
That'd be great, dude. I like them, but they make me mad when they talk like this.
Yes. So, I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had it out. She went Australian there.
You sound like somebody's downstairs made some PBS British show. That was great.
Hello from the other side.
Hello. Hello. I've been gone for a while now.
Arnold Schwarzenegger in the news again. Finally. Uh-huh. Finally back in the news. He's talking again. Actually kind of lately think he looks super cool in all these photos I'm seeing in his suits and stuff. Yeah. Something about him at this age I like. There was an awkward stage.
You never saw
that,
the newest Terminator movie, did you?
I didn't know. Still haven't. Any good?
I haven't seen it either.
We probably should. We had it on the movie draft. We sort of owe it to our old selves to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Arnold Schwarzenegger joined celebrities claiming eating less meat will help climate change. Oh, look at Mr. Republican eating the fresh veggies over there.
Right.
Not that you can't be Republican and be a vegetarian. I'm just kidding. Gosh dang it. Hold your emails. Many vegans and vegetarians have long decried meat consumption as a major contributor to health crises like obesity and diabetes. And more recently, meat eating has become vilified as a major contributor to global warming and climate change, meaning lots of cows farting in the air. Now former governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has joined the growing group of celebrity activists who claim eating meat is really bad for the environment. Addressing attendees of the climate summit in Paris, Schwarzenegger said that conventional farming is responsible for about 28% of the world's CO2 emissions. This is actually accurate. And if more people moved to a plant-based diet, the planet would be a lot better off. Lest you think it's impossible to live a healthy lifestyle sans animal products, the former bodybuilder champ says many of his weightlifting friends support the idea of going meatless as well.
Yeah, but when did you start, Arnold?
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you threw down a big red steak? Probably, what, a couple of weeks ago until someone talked you into this?
Exactly. I don't see him stopping cigars and steaks and...
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's telling the truth now, but I don't think this is a recent event. It's not like he can claim his whole life he's been eating like this.
I just love this picture putting him right next to Morrissey.
Yeah,
I figure, it's weird. It makes me long for the buddy cop film that I know I'm never going to get to see.
You're never going to get to see it. Because if he playfully punched Morrissey in the arm, it would put Morrissey into the ground. He would just shrivel up like a girlfriend in a coma, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Says you can't get your you can get your protein in many different ways, he told BBC News. I have seen many bodybuilders and weightlifters that are vegetarians. Yeah. But it's my best I can do. Don't do him.
Nailed it.
Thank you. But Schwarzenegger doesn't expect that many will quit poultry like cold turkey. Nice use of the term cold turkey in there, Fox News. He thinks if people are trying to give up meat and dairy for just 1 or 2 days a week, there would be a huge impact on curbing greenhouse gas emissions in the long run. People will just stop eating meat for 1 or 2 days. You'll have to start slowly. It's a very big challenge.
Don't eat your meat on the Thursday. Don't eat your meat on the Friday.
Oh, my Lord.
Stop eating your meat.
Now I need to find some Arnold quotes. Here you go.
Clever girl.
Wait, that's not him.
That's him.
Clever girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he said it in the movie and you thought it was cool because it was just like the line from Jurassic
Park. That's right. Now I remember that. How about this one?
What the f*** did I do wrong?
Do you have a permit for that monster?
Okay.
So this is the Golden Palace where you learn how to fight.
I don't know what that was.
That definitely wasn't him.
Okay, about this one?
Pass it on to the troopers.
The troopers.
Here's another one.
Show me the body.
How about this
one? The more I learn.
Oh, classic.
Help me. Get me out of here.
All right. Arnold, you're the man. Thanks for entertaining us for all these years. Taking a break now. When we come back, app time, our app recommendations, and... the Ask TMS segment of the show where you guys ask questions via Twitter via the hashtag Ask TMS. There's still time, chat room, if you want to get some in. Before that, though, Brian brought some interstitial music. What do you got?
Yes. This one's going out to Brett. Hello, frog pant underoo wearing co-hosts in crime. My name is Brett. I'm an Australian married to an amazing woman from Michigan. We hooked up in Australia in 2006, I'm a guy, okay? Details escape me. 6 weeks before she moved back to the U.S. To cut a long story short, we dated long distance for 3 years and then got married in her mom's amazing backyard. Zoom forward to 2015, and we are back in Michigan showing off our five-month-old Mawson.
Aww.
She's a beautiful, strong, caring woman, and there is no other person in the world who I would want to love and create a family with. I love you, Simone. To honor her birthday, I would love for you to play a cover of Nick Drake's Northern Sky, which I believe she walked down the aisle to. Fingers crossed I got that right, because I was too busy trying not to cry. If not, sorry, honey, the wedding DVD is back in Australia, but it'll be a cracking cover nonetheless. Failing that, she's a vegetarian, so if you have anything about any crispy bacon, play that sucker to remind her of what she's missing.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off his good line.
That's all right. Cheers. I tried to get in there quick because I knew you were going to. Cheers, Britt. Nice. Listening to you guys, how you interact with your kids is an inspiration to new fathers like myself. Keep up the chat. We love it.
Oh, thanks, man.
Happy to. All right, Britt. Cover of Northern Sky by Nick Drake. You asked for it. You got it. This one is by Dennison Whitmer. Power pop performer extraordinaire, Dennison Whitmer. This one comes from his album, It's My Party, I Can Sing If I Want To. It's a cover of Nick Drake's Northern Sky. Beautiful, beautiful lyrics and rendition here. It is Dennison Whitmer.
Oh, Dennison. I thought it was Dennis and Whitmer, like a group.
No, it's Dennison Whitmer.
Okay, so not Dennis and Whitmer. Together at last, putting together Northern
Finally
Sky.
Finally reunited, Dennis and Whitmer.
All right. Oops, here it is. Let's play it. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Never felt magic crazy as this. Never saw the moon, knew the meaning of the sea. Never held emotion in the palms of my hands. Felt sweet breezes from the tops of the tree, but now you're here. Brighten my northern sky. It's been a long time that I've waited. It's been a long time that I've known. It's been a long time that I've wondered through the people I have known. Oh, if you would and you could straighten my new mind's eye. Would you love me for my money? Could you love me for my head? Would you love me through the winter? Would you love me till I'm dead? Oh, if you would and you could, come blow your horn. Never felt magic crazy as this. Never saw the moon, knew the meaning of the sea. Never held emotion in the palms of my hand. Felt sweet breezes in the tops of the tree, but now you're here. Brighten my northern sky.
Lovely song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some may call that mellow. I call it just what I needed at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, good.
We're back, and that means that right now I'm going to hit a button. That button will mean that I have to hit another button. Hold on.
Okay.
It's app time, but I can't find the freaking theme thing. Oh, yeah, here it is. Love this. Got to play this. Here you go.
App Slappy.
One of the coolest things Eric Van Skyhawk ever made, that theme.
Hell yes.
Yeah, it's real good. Let's put our heads together and talk about some of the apps we've been messing with lately and what we like and what we don't. Well, we don't have to talk about what we don't want to like.
Yeah, yeah, that seems like it'd be a dumb thing to talk about on App Slappy.
Yeah,
I see. Here's a really bad app.
Yeah, terrible idea. All right, why don't you start while I pull this thing up, because I got to pull a thing up.
All right, mine. So you know I like the trivia, right? You know I like the games, the trivia style games.
Yep.
Found a new one. Someone recommended this one to me, and it's a different take on trivia than the Trivia Crack and the Quiz Up and all that stuff. As a matter of fact, it will make you smarter, because usually it's like, who played lineman number two in The Longest Yard?
Right.
You know, it's stuff like that. And you don't learn anything from that. But if you play this one, you will learn stuff, because it's all current. It's all news. The name of the game is Newsmeister. It's available on App Store and on Google Play, so works on all your devices. Well, at least those two. And what's really cool about it, you get a grid of a bunch of questions. Let me pull it up here. You get a grid of, this is a daily thing too, that you get new questions every day. You get a grid of 16 questions, and they range in difficulty and in category, and you move from left to right and then, you know, up and down the grid. You can actually do them all in whatever order you want, but I start at the top and work my way down and to the right. And what's really cool about this is it's all questions right from today's news. You get you actually get questions that we've talked about here on TMS.
Oh, weird.
And
So it's right up to the minute on stuff that's happening now.
Like, it is, exactly. So like every day, it's a new challenge that's written. And there's some sort of hipster doofus. Like the mascot for this thing looks like somebody out of, what was that card game that we really liked that took place in the pub? You had four cards.
That one, I know which one you mean.
Kind of like that style.
Hold on, I have it right here. It's called Card Crawl. There you go.
Card Crawl. Yeah, kind of has a little bit of a Card Crawl look to the main character that is the news guy. But so, you know, we go to today's challenge. The first question, the top left, is a geography question. Blank confirmed on Tuesday that it's testing a new timeline format where tweets are sorted by relevance instead of reverse chronological order. Well, it's probably going to be Twitter if it's talking about tweets. Sure enough, it is. And that's why it's in the left column. It's really easy.
Yeah.
As you move to the right. Oh, and what's really cool is, so not only says, yeah, you're right, it actually tells you that it gives you a link to where you can read more about it. And it says 81% got this correct. And it says that Twitter is experimenting with a new way of sorting your timeline that breaks with the reverse chronological format it's used since its inception.
I don't know if I like that idea. I know this isn't a news segment, but I don't like that sound of that. Don't mess with my feet.
Oh, you don't like the sound of
it. Right, I didn't like it when Facebook did it, so I don't think they should do it.
Right, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
And across the top, it keeps track of your score. The faster you answer, the more points you get. The more difficult questions give you more points, obviously. And you can see across the top as you go through your 16 questions how many you got right and how many you got wrong. Little circles for the ones you got right and little X's for the ones you get wrong. And of course, it's got a competitive element. It, you know, if you friend up with people on Facebook who also play this, then you'll basically just see how you did against them.
Nice.
Score-wise.
This seems all right.
It's cool. It's free to play. And what's really cool is that you will learn stuff as you're playing this game. If you don't know an answer, then you're going to at least learn something once you do find out the answer.
Yeah, it seems all right to me.
Yeah.
I'm downloading it now.
You can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong with that, Scott.
Give me the name of it again.
Newsmeister.
There it
just
is.
Think of Rob Schneider on Saturday Night Live.
Have you... it's the Newsmeister.
Newsmeister.
Have you played Quiz Up? Is that one you've tried?
Yes. Yeah, I like Quiz Up.
Any good? Okay. I have that one installed, but I never played it.
The benefit with Quiz Up, or the really cool thing about Quiz Up, is that you can just do a game in a very, very specific category. Seinfeld episodes, or you know, Dark Tower series or things like that, Game of Thrones questions. That's cool. You can just choose the categories you want, as opposed to like Trivia Crack, where it's, you know, wide open and every sports question is about Michael Phelps.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
Need more of those. I'm looking at, there it is. I'm downloading it now. Okay. That sounds great to me. Yeah. That's a very, I'm probably going to be better at that because I'm better at current events than I am about old trivia.
I would think so because of what we do here, what you do on Current Geek, DTNS. Yeah. I think you'd be really good at this.
Plus, I'm kind of a nut for it. I sit and look at Flipboard all the time and the new iOS news app, which I quite like, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's yeah. Really I need to look at more. I need to do more of that.
It's,
but,
good on, it's good on the pro. Really good on the pro, I should say.
Cool. iOS, Google Play. It's all there. Good. Enjoy it.
Oh, good. Look at us taking care of the other about 40% of American phones. I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to rile anybody up. All right. Here's my recommendation. You know, I like competitive card battler games in theory more than I like them in practice.
Yes. Like Hearthstone, for example?
Hearthstone, uh-huh. Magic the Gathering, that specific collect and gather and then build a deck and then know what decks to build and then fight dudes. That's a thing I like a lot more on paper than I do when I actually play them.
Yes.
And part of that is just, I don't know, maybe my brain's just not there or if it's, I don't know what it is, but it's just, they've always been great and I can see them as great. I look at them and go, they are truly phenomenons in their own right. They are enormous influences. They're incredibly important to video games or even to regular card games, but I just don't have it in me to find the same tunnel of love that everyone else finds, right?
Sure.
All of that being said, something came out yesterday, and I got all jazzed up about it because I found out that Magic the Gathering was coming out with a new app on iOS, and I believe Android as well, that combines Match 3 with Magic. And by that, I mean, like, literally, it's like Puzzle Quest, but in the Magic the Gathering universe.
Okay.
And you still use cards and stuff. So there's a story mode. There's, like, a daily mode. There's all these, like, modes. But when you play, let me see if I can make sense of this. Yeah. If I'm playing a green hero, okay, let's say some nature-y girl or something, when I match three or more gems that are green, I build her mana up way quicker. And you need mana to play cards just like in Magic.
Okay.
Or just like in Hearthstone for that matter.
Right.
Yeah. The way that Magic works is you have to have resource cards. And my, you know, this is again a rudimentary understanding how Magic works. It's always a lot more complicated than that, but you've got to put down these mana cards before then you can play another card. You need to be able to have the resources before you can play an attack or whatever. So this works the same way. You build up the mana, adds up to keeps adding up into this thing. You kind of have a deck of cards that's off to the side you can bring in front of you anytime. But as those meters fill up, then the next card in line will come out and play. And he may just be straight up attack 2-2, or he may be, I don't know, like 2 defense, 2 attack, or he may be one that only attacks other cards, or only the boss, or the other character rather, or maybe it's a card that's more utilitarian, like this will give you +5 damage to the next card you play or whatever. It's all those same kind of cardy, complicated things, but they're done. They're unlocked and brought forward and found by playing essentially Bejeweled.
Right, exactly. Building up. That's really cool. So a really cool way to build up resources.
Yeah, it's just different.
To play the cards.
In some ways, it's not different at all. In some ways, it's like, well, what's the difference between this and the million other kind of match 3 RPG hybrids? And the answer is, not much, but this is the first time I realized how closely those gameplay models feed into something like Magic. Magic the Gathering, that is. Not actual Magic, where I can turn a bunny into a frog or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I'll give it a try. Let's see if this can, you know, bring me out of my Magic the Gathering shell a little bit. Because I do like the, you know, I've always loved the art. I love the idea of it more than I do like the playing of it, blah, blah, blah. I'm here to tell you that this is a really cool mix. It's super, super fun.
Would a Magic the Gathering fan like it? Or
I
is
think
it-
so, yeah. It gives them something different to do because you still have to be strategic about what cards are in what order, when you play them, why you would play them when you play them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how you build up your ability to use them. That's what changes. And it still even has things like once you put a card out, you can't use it till your next turn. Kind of like a card without charge in Hearthstone. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
Like if I play a frog,
you gotta wait for it to build up.
Right. You just have to wait until it's your turn again, then you can use them. Mm-hmm. Same thing. So these things are dormant until the next turn. Then they attack automatically, either the hero or other cards, depending on what their abilities are. There's lots of spell cards and stuff. So there, it seems very lovingly treated. And not being a huge Magic fan, I could be misinterpreting this, but it feels like they're being very true to the roots of this thing, but just giving you something new to do.
Hmm.
I like it a lot, and I'm going to recommend it. It scratches all the itches I have for this sort of thing and doesn't make me feel like I never have the right cards or I got to go buy a bunch of decks or I got to deal with all that stuff. I don't feel like that way at all in this game.
Cool. So, oh, yeah. No, I'm going to check it out. What's it called again?
It's called Magic the Gathering. Whoops. Oh, crap. What's the actual title? I just realized I don't know the actual title. Hold on. Oh my gosh, it's hidden because it's such a long title, it doesn't actually show it.
Right?
I'm going to have to look it up.
Looks like it's just Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's the same people doing it.
I think it is.
Oh,
yeah.
It might be. Well, that makes even more sense why I like it, because I've always liked those games.
Yeah.
And they've very always cool. done a pretty good job. So yeah, I think that's worth checking out, Brian. You should give it a swing.
I'm downloading it right now.
You know,
look at us.
I try not to steer people wrong when it comes to RPG-ish games, because they're my favorite genre on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is a pretty good addition to things.
I bet it looks gorgeous on the Pro, too. I bet it looks gorgeous great. On the big.
Yeah, everything does on there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, though, the real game on there is to play is that Luton.
Luton Legends.
Luton
right.
Legends. Oh, my gosh. It's so good on there. Anyway, there's our recommendations.
Good choices, both.
Oh, and a tiny note about artists who are thinking about getting the iPad Pro and a pencil. I did this on DTNS yesterday, but I've come down to my very favorite art app, period. And there's a lot of good stuff happening from everybody from Autodesk, who just updated to support it, to all the Adobe stuff that's tied into your CC stuff, and all those things. They all have a bunch of strengths, very few weaknesses. But by far, hands down, the far and away winner for me, with everything
Please
it lets
Procreate.
Me do. Yeah, it's Procreate, dude.
Good deal.
So good.
I was like, I don't want to drop coin on yet another drawing app that's really good.
Procreate is the bomb. It is the bomb. It's fast, it's smooth, it has the least amount of stuff in your way. It's just intuitive and clean and complex at the same time if you really want to get crazy with it.
Mm-hmm.
All the layering you need, the exporting to PSD, stick it in Dropbox, blah, blah, blah. Stuff's a piece of cake to use. I love it. And it records everything you draw so you can watch it back. That's awesome.
I love
awesome.
That. Yeah, that's a really cool feature.
Highly recommend that. And that's it for that. Let's move on to Twitter questions.
All right.
We do this on PM edition of the show. It's where you guys ask us questions via Twitter. I play this little themey theme here. Whoops.
That guy on Twitter lied.
Out of order.
The news tweet.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
There you go. All mixed up today.
Keeping you on your toes is what we're doing.
I like that. Hashtag AskTMS is where you send your questions. We got a bunch here. Let's start with this one. Hey, Coverville, have you ever played fantasy football? Hey, Scott Johnson, have you ever heard of fantasy football? Ha ha. This is Hans Schubert who sent that in.
Nice. Well, he's my favorite composer.
Of course you have, because you talk about it all the time.
Here's the thing. No, I've only ever played one season of fantasy football.
Oh.
I'm part of a pick'em league, which is more, you pick teams based on the spread. So, which requires so much less effort. So at some point today, I'm going to make my picks for tonight's game and all the Sunday games and the Monday game, just based on the spread. So if it's, you know, Denver plus 7, then Denver needs to win by more than, or I'm sorry, Denver needs to either win or be within 7 points of winning, against whoever they're playing, that sort of thing.
So it's like the arcade edition of fantasy football, basically what that is.
No, it's different from fantasy football, because fantasy football, you're making a fake team based on real players. Mm-hmm. And when those players run, when those players pass, when they score touchdowns, etc., all those skills add up to your score, your team's score. So like you could have Aaron Rodgers and Romanowski. Well, I guess he's also a quarterback, but you know, have a couple running backs and a linebacker and da 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 da. And however those individual players do on their successive games that weekend is how many points your fantasy football team gets.
Right. Well, that makes
way
sense.
Different from the Pick'em League.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the fantasy football is I was always told, yeah, it's like D&D for people who think D&D players are nerds, basically.
Kind of is.
Yeah.
Right.
I've never really been into it or gotten into it, but I would just like to use this opportunity to once again mention that Scott likes football, like a lot. I really dig football. I understand how it works. I know where first downs come from. I know where the teams are, and I know who the big prominent players are. I don't follow it like a freak, but I like football, so quit it.
Yeah.
All right.
Next. I think it's a funny jab to pick at you because...
Well, the more I bring it up, the more they'll do it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. That's self-fulfilling prophecy here.
Plus, we're nerds. So people could just assume that, oh, they don't know about that stuff.
Peter Fisher asks this question.
Okay.
In 30 years, when there are new bands that are influenced by today's artists, who will be the scariest? Nickelback or Nicki Minaj? I don't think anyone even talk about him then.
So you think that... So he's asking, like... Who's going to be a scarier thing for bands to say, oh, yeah, you know, I was a big fan of Nickelback, and so we tried to really model our sound after Nickelback?
No one's ever going to do that, though.
No one is ever going to say that.
Yeah. If you're asking which is scarier, probably Nickelback. At least Nicki Minaj has some stuff to say. But here's the thing. These are going to be like bands like, I mean, name any number of bands from our decade of the 80s or anything before that. There's so many bands that are one-hit wonders or are there for a little while, and then they just go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it'll be. No one's going to talk about Rat.
I think Nickelback is notable because they're hated so much, right?
Yeah.
It's like Creed. It's like talking about Creed.
Yeah, good point.
One's talking about Creed saying, yeah, we really, you know, that's our big influence is Creed.
Except maybe Nickelback. Maybe they are.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a really good question. I just don't think anyone will care then. And they'll talk about you too, and maybe even bands like Coldplay will get mentioned. But that's what happens. The big influencers will get talked about, and the bunch of has-beens, which is no big deal. I mean, this is not me knocking them. Great, man. I loved Rat when they were big. I like Cinderella, but nobody talks about Cinderella.
It's a hard business to be in, or it's a hard industry to be in, because very few, you know, 1% get through and being memorable and influential and legends and icons. The rest of them are like, oh yeah, remember Right Said Fred? They were great.
Yeah, for about 5 minutes, they were awesome. He had a sexy shirt or whatever he was doing there. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you remember the Beatles. You remember, you know, Willie Nelson. You remember, I don't know, Rolling Stones,
Led Zeppelin.
Zeppelin, all these guys, because they left some seismic hole in music. And not everyone gets to do that.
Right.
Some of them do, but not all of them. I think Eminem will be remembered in hip-hop.
I think so, too.
You know, but I don't think anyone is going to care about Ice-T in 30 years. They're not going to remember there was an Ice-T. There are bands that my grandparents are into that you and I don't even know of. We know about Glenn Miller. We know about, you know.
I think Ice-T will be memorable. I think Snow probably won't.
What is Snow? I don't even remember now.
Exactly.
Was there a guy named Snow?
There was a guy named Snow. He had a song called Informer.
Oh,
Informer.
Yep, I remember that. I didn't know it was called Snow. That person.
Boom, boom, something. Yeah.
Right. That was a pretty catchy
It was a great
song.
Was...
Sure. I remember that. all right. Next one. Let's see. How about this one? How much? Oh, I hate the woodchuck ones. I'm skipping that one.
Yeah. Come on, people.
Still happen. That's so weird to me. Dave Podner says, Elf on a Shelf, stupid or really stupid? And where did it come from? He says, I don't even know what that is. It a reference to something before I say something dumb?
The Elf on a Shelf is a children's story / toy. It was like four or 5 years ago, big marketing thing where Elf on a Shelf. It's a toy you put on your shelf, but there's also a storybook that goes along with it about this Elf on a Shelf. And I think there was even a made-for-TV movie or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm tying into these things.
I want to say it got support from like Oprah or one of the talk show people really plugged the crap out of it. Maybe it was 2005, 10 years ago.
Yeah, who was big then? Ricky Lake, was she still doing things? Montel Williams?
You're going way too far. let's see here. Here we go. Animated TV show in 2011 on CBS.
2011.
it made its appearance in the Thanksgiving Day Parade in 2012. The elf has received some criticism from cultural reviewers. Atlantic columnist Kate Tuttle calls it, quote, a marketing juggernaut dressed up as a tradition.
Wow.
Whose purpose is to spy on kids, and the one should bully your child into thinking that good behavior equals gifts.
Wow. Yeah. That's a ringing endorsement of Elf on a Shelf. So our answer is a little of stupid and a little of really stupid, sure.
That's right, yes.
This came from Mike Boyd earlier. I saw you respond to it, so I know it's one you want to answer. He asked this. This is more of a cover vote question, but do you think indie is a genre? I don't. Rock is still rock and so on. What do you think?
I agree completely. Yeah, indie is there's no genre sound of indie. There's indie folk. There's indie rock. There's indie punk. There's indie funk. You know, there's for every musical genre, there's an indie side to it, but there's not a sound that indie band has. If all a band needs to do to go independent is leave their major label and go out on their own, and there's lots of great examples recently with bands doing that, then all of a sudden their sound changes? No, it's, you know.
Totally agree. Completely agree. I don't know why you know what, the video game business is about to hit that. It's hitting it now, where indie used to mean a thing, and now it doesn't really mean anything because you have big companies doing Kickstarters that essentially making an independent game, but you're not going, $4 million on Kickstarter for a budget. What a nice little indie title that's going to be, you know? Right. Like, it's a stupid thing. We should stop saying independent. Or no, we can say independent.
Weezer was on a major label, right? Mm-hmm. And then they decided to go on their own with the Hurley album, the Jorge Garcia album.
Yep.
And their sound didn't change.
Yep.
They're not, you know, they're not a different genre now. They're just an independent group that still does alternative rock.
And I have no problem with people saying independent as a descriptor, but not as the genre they're making music or games in. I totally agree with that. Movies too. Indie movies. Quit saying that, everybody. Just say movies made independently. Or if you call them indie movies, don't mean, well, it's kind of artsy fartsy and whatever. speaking of that, nobody likes Joy. It's like a lot of negative reviews. Oh yeah.
People
do not like Joy.
Oh, here. I want people to like that. It's David O. Russell. It's Bradley Cooper. It's Jennifer Lawrence. It's Robert De Niro.
Here's your, what's the deal?
And it's in my draft. I bought that movie in the draft.
I shouldn't have brought it up. I didn't think about that. Joy.
So what is it on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, 55%. That's not great. For a David O. Russell movie, that's bad. Because his previous films, nowhere near like that. Like, let's see. His
American Hustle got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Three Kings, 94. American Hustle, 93. Silver Linings Playbook, 92. Uncovered the Whole Truth About the Iraq War, which is some documentary, did 100%. I'm trying to find a bad one. He hasn't done anything bad, it says, since I Heart Huckabees. He's only screenwriter. No, he's director on that. 62. Outside of that, nothing's dipped this low for him.
Wow.
And so, including his first film.
Executive producer on Anchorman.
Yeah, he just produced on that. But anything he's directed or written, including Spanking the Monkey, his first film, he's never dipped below that. 55%. And the reviews I heard in a magazine or paper or something were just like, this is the most disappointing, crappy film.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking to see what the script never gels. The comedy feels forced and mechanically boisterous. In the final 30 minutes, it's a dangly mess. Oh, no. Come on, people.
I don't like dangly messes.
Come on, David O. Russell. What's going on?
I'll show you a dangly mess. You really want to see one.
It comes out of my 3D printer,
dude. Yeah, that's right. Oh, shoot. I accidentally shut that down. Let me pull that back up. They don't like it. So we'll see how that thing does. I don't think... I'm not saying that that's good or bad for my case for a certain thing I'm not talking about.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Let's move on. Here's another
one. Why does it all have to come back to that?
Well, you have to think about it. 10 slots. I got to think about what's competition, right? Less competition, better for me. All right. Here's... Let's see... I don't know. I don't care about that one. How about that one? No, that one's dumb. Wax or shave, says USS Botany Bay.
Depends on the part of the body you're talking about.
If it's your head, you shave, right?
Yes, right. If it's your...
What if it's your bum hole?
If it's your lip and you're a lady, then waxing is fine. my son's girlfriend is studying to be a cosmetologist, and they actually have waxing that you do in your nose.
Ew.
And it sounds like it would hurt like hell, right? Because, you know, you pull one nostril hair out and it's like, oh my God, that hurts.
Yeah.
Apparently when you do a bunch of them, it doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah. Kim says this too. I've heard the same story from the Johnson house.
How is that possible?
I don't think it is. I don't believe it. Until someone does it to me and I successfully walk away without any nose pain, I won't believe it. And I'll be sneezing for days or whatever.
Yeah, so.
I had a bloke says, gift card or gift?
Mm.
This is an eternal question, man.
Hope he's not asking for his wife, in which case I would say better be a gift.
Be a gift. But if it's a friend or something, cards are cool.
Yeah, if it's for us, gift cards are perfect.
Yeah
we, totally. They're easy to mail. Yeah. And
there's a different level.
And we know exactly how much you like us by how much the denomination is.
Right. Right. I'm not giving Kim an iTunes card, right? But I would
at
give
least
one.
Not just an iTunes
no,
card.
No, not just
give
that.
Give it to her attached to a shiny new sure. iPod Touch. Then
sure.
Yes.
But my, you know, a friend or somebody's out there on the internet, I'd go, they would love to get that actually. Because mm-hmm. it'd be yeah. like, free apps and music or whatever. Right. So I think it depends. Okay, here's a good one. Doug Moore. He says, would you rather have to eat lunch with Donald Trump or have to swim in pig feces? Well, of course it's to have lunch with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think that if nothing else, it would be an entertaining hour, hour and a half. And
right, but I don't even think it's comparable to swimming in pig feces.
And my guess is that he'd probably pick up the tab. So,
yeah,
you know, get that,
it.
Get dessert.
It'd be a fancy place.
Get an appetizer.
Be one of those steaks that he always talked about for a while.
The Omaha steaks. Did you?
Oh, you just went berserkoid on
okay.
your
Okay, there we go.
No, you're back now, yeah.
Okay.
That was weird.
Did you watch that Star Wars, the Trump,
yes,
Darth Trump thing?
Yes, and it was the best part when he's arguing with Lando and he just does the whole
the
steak
Omaha
thing.
Omaha steaks?
I was dying.
And Omaha steaks are the juiciest steaks and you can only get them at Sharper Image. Wait, that wasn't part of the deal.
Everything about that was brilliant.
It really
was. It
was
so
yeah.
well done. Oh my gosh. But no, I would love to have lunch with him. I'd love to talk to him. I'd love to get to know him outside of a camera and a microphone
sure.
and a podium.
He's never going
to
change my mind. He's never going to change my opinion of him.
Yeah.
But,
well, he may change my opinion of him as a person. I may not change how I feel about him as an orator of terrible ideas.
I don't think that over lunch you would see a different side of Trump than you see in everything else.
I don't think.
I think he is an all cards on the table everywhere he goes kind of person.
I completely agree. That's probably true. But all I'm saying is if I was to do that, I will learn more about Donald Trump the man, even if it's very little bit different than I would swimming in a pool of pig feces.
That's true, yes.
I don't understand how it's even a comparison.
Somebody just really doesn't like Donald Trump.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, a lot of us really don't like
well,
what he's
we don't
doing.
Really like Donald Trump, but I mean, somebody really.
Sure. But if I had the opportunity to eat with him, I'd eat with anyone who I disagree with. I would totally do that. Mm-hmm. That's a good place to have it out or find common ground. And
I wouldn't eat with Chemical Ali. That's not somebody I'd like to have lunch with.
Wait, who's Chemical Ali? Help
it was
me.
One of the Al-Qaeda.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Don't have lunch with that guy.
No, I don't want it, especially not him.
You want my french fries? No.
No. That's
no,
good.
You
good.
Go ahead. You want my
taste
roll?
This. I'm does not this taste funny to
does
you?
Does this taste weird to you? Tastes like mustard? That's terrible. Let's see. Where are we here? Is it possible for a band to cover their own song? Yes. Right? Says Michael Miller.
Oh, absolutely it is. You know what? I'm confusing Chemical Ali with somebody else, by the way.
Oh.
I had to look because it was...
Wasn't he the guy up in Iraq?
He was the Iraqi defense minister.
Yeah, and he ordered all the...
part of...
He ordered the gassing of all those people, I thought.
He did, yes. Yeah. But I was confusing him with the guy that we captured from Al-Qaeda that had that horrible photo that always circulated around where
he's all disheveled looking.
All
yeah.
his back hair, like his super... That's the guy that I'm confusing.
Yeah, the one he was supposed to be like second or third in charge.
Exactly, yes. I wouldn't want to... Okay, you know what? No lunch with either one of those people.
Okay, either one of
yes,
those
yes, a band can cover their own song.
Sure, absolutely.
And it's happened a lot of times. Eric Clapton's probably the best example of this when he did Layla originally with Derek and the Dominoes and then did a new version of it for MTV Unplugged. It's absolutely... I'd consider it an absolute cover because the feel of the song was changed up, the mood of it. Oingo Boingo did it with some of their songs. They did a version of Sweat that they did kind of countrified. Mm. And so if you ever want to... If you ever want to hear some good examples of those, just do a Google search for Coverville Recovery Room, because I've done a couple episodes where I've focused just on that style, just on doing that thing.
Oh, that's cool. And we've talked a little bit about how the Foo Fighters are great at doing that to their own music. And
yeah.
It's not simply just unplugging necessarily, but they'll add something to it, or, you know, change the feel or the tone of it. Yes. We got one more question. How about this one? George McKay asks this.
Okay.
What side are you on, Captain America or Iron Man for Civil War?
And now
let's assume it's the comic book version of that conflict for now.
Sure, sure.
Because we don't know.
I'm assuming, you know, just movie version. It's like, do you like Bucky or do you not like Bucky?
That's what it sounds like. Are you pro Bucky? Well, then F off. But I think, you know, obviously things are a little deeper in the comic. I mean, I'm totally pro Captain America on that. I don't think anyone should be forced to register.
Right.
I think
you
didn't
see, is that the actual, that looks like Ron Jeremy, by the way. I think that's the Ron Jeremy version of that same photo.
Yeah, that's Ron Jeremy, dude. He's been photoshopped on there. That's the same, that's the photo, but that's
same
Ron
body,
Jeremy.
Same body, same background, but that's Ron Jeremy's head.
Yeah.
I'm on Captain America's side for sure. I think that part of being a superhero is being able to protect the ones you love by not having your secret identity exposed and out there.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I think it's the right of every, because we're talking about Americans here in that story. Mm-hmm. It's the right of every American to preserve their, to do their, whatever it takes to preserve whatever privacy they want.
Correct.
And if they're not hurting someone else, and in his case, helping a lot of people, then you shouldn't make him register his name and tell you who he is.
Yep.
And I think Peter Parker made a huge mistake, and I think Iron Man's kind of a dick.
Kind of a dick.
So there you go. That's it. We're done. Ask TMS is the hashtag. Use that all through the week and mostly on Thursdays, and we'll get to that next time. Big thanks to Alpha Geek Radio for shoutcasting this stream. Scott Fletcher for being our fantastic voice man. Twitch for letting us use the streaming service for that. You can always find us at patreon.com/TMS. That's where you can support this show and make this Thursday's second episode possible. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. 801-471-0462 is our phone number. Leave us voicemails there. Please. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, find Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morning Stream. Frogpants.reddit.com will get you there, too. I think it's going to do it.
Okay.
You got a little take me out music?
A little song to go out on?
Yeah.
I do. And continuing the mellowness of today, this is really sweet, and this is a really cool tribute that we're paying here. Dear Star Trek and Battlestar Galactica,
All right.
3 weeks ago, I lost my stepdad, Fred, to his battle with alcoholism. Growing up, we weren't very close. He was a very quiet man who loved to read. Even though we weren't close, he was still very kind to me. Later, I found out he was very proud to call me his son. People who worked with him and knew him told me he spoke of me often. His family, my family, took me in and always made me feel like I was their own. Because of him, I was able to spend my summers on a ranch outside of Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Every Sunday, Granny would make us kids go to church. My granny, who was an amazing woman, would stand in the pew with her head down, eyes closed, while she would sing the church songs. She always told me as her special grandson would hug me, and if it weren't for my stepdad, I wouldn't have been introduced to such a wonderful family. My fiance Nova lost her mother 2 years ago. I was very close to her mom. She was always very kind to me. I love them all and miss them very much. So as a thank you to all of them for being so kind to me, I would like to request Go Rest High on That Mountain. Shelby Brown, a contestant on The Voice, sang a wonderful version of the song that made me think of all three of them. If you don't have her version, Vince Gill will most certainly do. There are two reasons I would like this request played. Number one, it was 3 weeks ago today. My stepdad passed away. And two, because I was hoping Tom Merritt would be listening. I followed Tom to the Frog Pants Network through Current Geek. For the past 2 years, I've been listening to most of the shows and enjoying every minute. I even went to Nerdtacular this year, where my shy son and talked to Scott without my help. That was one of the proudest moments I had as a father.
Oh, I remember this guy.
Yes.
That was awesome. The kid was so cool, too. Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
Yep, I remember meeting him, too. Nova actually went to the same college I did at the very same time, the same art school, and we never had any classes together. We were talking about all these same teachers we had, but just at different times. Let's see. I was too scared to talk to Veronica, the destroyer of worlds. Please let Wendy know I'm trying to beat Nova, or I'm trying to treat Nova like a princess. There's a misread. That's the advice she gave to me at Nerdtacular. So, Tom, thank you for introducing me to the Frog Pants family. They're the best. Love the show, though, Jason. Very cool. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool.
I'm just digging the vibe from this awesome family.
It was a long, I'm sorry, long request, but still really, really cool. All right, so go rest upon that mountain. How about a cover of that? Or go rest high on that mountain. Mm. This one, I didn't have the Vince Gill version. I didn't have the version from The Voice. Vince Gill actually did the original version, and I'd be worried about lawsuits from The Voice because they've been really, really militant about taking down anything they see on YouTube that's not official from The Voice.
Interesting.
But rock and roll fans will absolutely love this version because it features Deanna Carter with Hart. Anne and Nancy Wilson are doing vocals on this thing. Nancy Wilson's also playing the guitar in it. It's really, really good. Came out on the 2006 album Songs of the Year. It's Deanna Carter and Hart and Go Rest High on That Mountain.
Do you think Vince Gill has the same rule about 2-week spoilers that Vince Gilligan has?
Don't talk about my country albums for 2 weeks after they come out, would you?
Well, they sound a lot alike, actually.
They do. That was a little bit of that in skill.
It was a little weird. I liked it. All right, here it is.
Whistle.
Here it is. Go rest on that high mountain, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday. Bye now.
I know your life on earth was trouble, and only you know the pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. You were no stranger to the rain. Go rest high. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Assholes.